Are you ready for the word? Let's get in this. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We know Peter talks about this, but he puts it in past tense. Peter says, by his stripes, you were healed. I mentioned this morning, I've been healed of diabetes, cancer, tuberculosis, AIDS, bubonic plague, swine flu, bird flu, all of it. And you say, Pastor Jack, when were you healed of all that? 2,000 years ago. Jesus took all my sickness then. Amen. So I don't have to experience it. I've already been healed of it. I'm healed of all sickness and all disease, right? We have a right to walk in divine health. Jesus took it all at the cross. Now, if he took our sickness, why would we want to receive it? You follow me? If he took all of our infirmities, why would we want to carry it? We have a right to walk free of those things. Now, we're going to start teaching tonight on some different hindrances to accessing divine health. But I want you to see you're starting out in verse 4 where it says, he has carried our griefs and sorrows. The word sorrows there is the word pain in the Hebrew. Jesus also took our pain. Now, at the cross, there was a great exchange, right? Jesus took our sin. We received his righteousness. He took stripes on his body. We receive health. He took the crown of thorns upon his head, mental torment, so we can be set free of oppression. We have a covenant of peace. And we could go on and on with different things at the cross that he took for us so that we don't have to carry it. But here we see as well, he took our pain. Now, does anybody have any problem believing that Jesus experienced pain at the cross? I mean, with the beating that he took, the crown of thorns. How about plucking your beard? I mean, every once in a while, I'll have a razor that's dulled and pull something, and it's like, oh! But to virtually pluck your beard would be extremely painful. And so everything, and nailing to the cross, we went through last Resurrection Day, the actual torment that takes place at a crucifixion. The most torturous death ever conceived of a man to be crucified. And he took all of that, that extreme pain. He took pain so we have a right to walk pain-free. I don't know if I'd ever put this together before, but when I have prayer lines, I always ask people, do you have any pain? If I'm praying for healing, I will say, where is the pain? Because the pain points to the area that needs healing, right? And I'll pray for them and I'll say, now check for the pain. And in almost all cases, all of, if not most of the pain goes on the spot. And I never tied to it. I never separated pain from the infirmity or injury before. But I believe we can separate the two. We have a right to be delivered from not just the infirmity or the injury or the disease. We have a right to be delivered from pain as well. And you can be delivered from the pain and still have the injury. Did you follow me? And yesterday I was seeking God on deliverance from pain and I was standing on this verse. Amen. In fact, I was also saying the word of God's the word of faith is in your mouth, because that's where I was focusing, and even in your heart. I'm focusing faith in my mouth right now in Jesus' name. And although, as of this moment right now, I haven't seen full manifestation of the healing, I've seen full manifestation of the pain relief. And the pain relief allows me now to continue to stand for the complete healing. Because pain, we're going to see, stands as a major obstacle between you and what you're believing for regarding divine health. Because if we can just separate out the pain and not have to deal with the pain, it makes it easier to stand for the manifestation of health. Amen. Because pain is a very effective persuader to make decisions, even decisions you don't want to make. You know, when I worked on the farm and we would take cattle to slaughter, pigs to slaughter, you know, they say animals, when they're at the slaughterhouse or going that direction, they know what's going on. Now, we never took them to slaughterhouse. We took them to sale barn. Others took them to the slaughterhouse. Well, we did on occasion take them. We'd have our own pigs or cows slaughtered. That pig or cow usually didn't want to get off the truck. But we had these things called cattle prods. They call them tasers today. And when you hit that animal with that little cattle prod, they moved. Pain became a great persuader to move them in a direction they didn't want to go. And the enemy will use pain against you to keep you from standing for the things of God. And so I have a whole list of things that will hinder your healing, but we're going to start off with this pain issue. And so I'm going to draw a chart. Fantastic. And we're going to put right in the middle here, here's our healing. There's our healing that we're after. Now the enemy is coming to attack our healing. He's going to attack your divine health, right? Your well-being, feeling of well-being. And whenever you're dealing with attacks regarding your health, there are certain obstacles, let's just call them shells of opposition, that will try to stand between you and you being healed, right? So I'm going to draw a set of circles here. Nobody make fun of my circles. And we're going to label these. I might have three so far, right? I need one more. I could actually add about 10 of these. The first opposition or obstacle against our being healed is looking at the circumstances. Scripture says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Amen? And so one of the first things that will stand against you accessing divine health is looking at the circumstances or looking at the symptoms. See, it's amazing how we do this. We're so attuned to looking at the natural that we'll say, I believe I'm healed, and we'll check it. Because somehow we think whether it's better is a determining factor whether or not the Word of God's working. But the truth is, often when you pray, after you've prayed, it gets worse. I mean, the devil hits you harder. That you have pain in your body doesn't negate that the Word's working. Let me ask you a question. Let's say there's a man, he's in the hospital, he's in extreme pain, and you walk in and you lead him to Jesus. You tell him about the cross and about the salvation, a plan of God, and you lead him in a salvation prayer and he sincerely receives it. Is he saved? In other words, his pain did not negate the promise of salvation. Well, in the same way, neither does his pain negate the promise of healing. They're both promises given in the great exchange. And so you can't keep looking at the natural, trying to examine the natural to see is the Word working, because often it'll get worse and worse until all of a sudden there's a there it is. With this tooth thing last night, it kept getting worse. Amen. And I'm speaking, it's better. But finally, after I got to sleep, with the assistants. After I got to sleep, I woke up and it was all gone. All the pain was gone. It wasn't a natural event of, you know, circumstances lifting. It was instantaneous. Sometime during my night of sleep, I believe an angel must have come in and touched me and taken out all that infection and all that pain. So one of the mistakes we make is looking at the natural, whether or not it's working or not. Or even looking at the natural and thinking, is this even possible I could be healed of this? One of the reasons I'm standing in this area is because it's a further step than I've gone. Now, I've been healed of migraines and bad back and flu and you name it. I've been healed of it. Many things. But this one is a different type than I've ever. Of course, I had been healed of it before, but not at this level before. At least not with the pain combined. And I am determined the devil's not going to steal from me to the best of my ability. Amen. And so I'm going to lock on to what God promises, even though it's beyond what I've seen personally before. Now again, we're not against doctors. How many times do you hear us say, we're not against doctors? But you know, I never hear anybody say we're not against dentists. It's amazing how quick we'll say, I'm standing and not going to the doctor, but, you know, maybe Christians will run to the dentist. Nothing wrong with this. Please don't let me get too flaky for you. You follow me, don't sound too flaky. But I'm of the opinion that when the Word says He'll restore everything, the palmer worm, the canker worm, you know, his grain, his locust is eaten, He'll restore all. I believe it means all. I believe in Acts 3 where He says there's coming a time of the restitution of all things. I believe it means all. And my faith isn't there yet. But I'm confessing it right now anyway. Oh, Lord God, I don't know if I should even say this. I'm confessing that God puts new teeth in my head.
All right, Pat.
Has He done it for people before? I'm sure He has. I know about gold being put in teeth before and jaws being healed. Yeah, years in the desert. But if God can make an arm grow out where there is no arm, feet form where there's no feet or legs, why can't He put new teeth in a head? I didn't have good dental. And I grew up in an era we didn't have good dental health. We just didn't when I was a kid. Maybe you did. Nobody I knew had good dental health. Good dental practices. And, I mean, I think I was 12 years old first time I went to a dentist. And it was a mess. And so those early years, the devil stole stuff from me. That even now I'm having some of the results of. This tooth I'm battling actually is a result of when I was 18, a breakover bar, I was working on a car, slipped off, and the bar hit me in the mouth. And hit that tooth, and that started some degeneration. In fact, I ended up with a root canal, and this has been the tooth I've battled ever since I was 18. That's now been 10 or 20 years ago, or more. I'll let you do the math. Many years of fighting with that tooth. But listen, I believe I have a right to have my physical body restored. Is my faith at the point new teeth are going to grow in my head? I'm battling way too much doubt on it right now to say I'm in full faith for it. You follow me? In other words, there's a battle going on, but I'm speaking it. And I've got to start where I'm at with something I've never seen before. Amen. Well, I don't believe that can happen. Well, it would be doubtful to me too, except it's already happened before. When 22 years ago, he told me I was going to lose a tooth and everything went back in position and was reformed. So I know what he did before, he can do again. Now we just have an extra aspect thrown in called pain. And God just delivered me from the pain. Praise be to God. And I'm holding on to that one the best I can. Are you following me? And so, one of the first obstacles, if you're going to go to your healings, you've got to get past looking at the circumstances and look at the Word only. What does the Word say? The second thing in our shell really is fear. Fear. Fear can take several different forms. You may just have a fear of people making fun of you if you believe you're going to stand for healing. You know, when years ago when I was standing for that tooth, and even now, and I've got people saying, what's going on with your tooth? Because actually, my teeth used to be perfectly straight in the front. And over that, those attacks, this tooth dropped some and moved out quite a bit. And it's not my normal dazzling smile. So I've got people tell me about it. What's going on with that tooth? And I've got to go through fear of ridicule or even fear of failure. I'm trying to take a stand for a testimony. What if it doesn't work? And now people are going to make fun of me. I've told the dentist I'm standing on faith for God to heal these. Now I've got my reputation on the line. So there's a fear that will try to come against you. Oh, don't stand for that. They already think you're crazy because you speak in tongues. Now you're going to believe that God's going to put bone back in your mouth? Straighten teeth? Now, to see, here's the thing. To most of you here, if not all, what I'm saying sounds reasonable. Does it sound unreasonable to anybody hear what I'm saying? You know why? Because you've been exposed to faith teaching. You've been exposed to the miraculous. Now, I want to think for a minute. What if instead we just translated me into a Baptist church tonight, or a Methodist church tonight, or any denominational church tonight, or even a dead charismatic church tonight, and I said, I'm believing for God to put bone in my mouth and restore my dazzling smile. You follow me? That God's going to supernaturally restore this tooth. What would they think? They would think I was nuts. And it would spread like wildfire. There's a nutty pastor over there. In fact, some of you are going to do something. It's going to cause this to expand. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying don't put all your eggs in one basket on me. But some of you are going to tell your coworkers or family or friends, my pastor's believing for God to put bone in his mouth to heal his tooth. And then it's going to go out and about. They're going to talk about the crazy pastor that believes that God can heal bone. Do you follow me? And so you've got to deal with these things. What if it doesn't work? So we've got fear of failure, fear of ridicule, combining to try to keep you from standing for your healing. Amen. We just don't tell anybody. Well, that's kind of hard when your tooth keeps moving out about another 5 degrees every few weeks. Because most stuff that I stand for, you never hear about. Amen. But this is one that has an obvious effect, especially when I'm starting to whistle my S's like never before. Hallelujah. She sells at the thief store. It's a good thing Patty's not here on that one. She'd have been gone. With every demonic manifestation, fear is always connected to it. Fear is the frontline defense for all demonic activity. It always has a spirit of fear connected with it. That's why Paul told Timothy, you've not been given a spirit of fear, or even timidity is what it means, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if we're going to move into divine health, any kind of divine manifestation, you will have to confront the fear and put the word above the fear. Elevate the promise above the potential of failure. And be willing to be made an open spectacle. The writer of Hebrews talked about that in chapter 10, where he said, "Remember the former days in which after you illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction." And he says, "Partly whilst you were made an open gazing stock before all men," to paraphrase. In other words, everybody was watching. They were waiting for you to fail, hoping you would fail. But you didn't fail because you refused to move off of the Word. Your life is an open testimony being written right now. I mean, it's a testimony to all being written openly right now. And there comes a time you've got to take a stand and say, "I believe the Word and I'm not moving off of it." Because to not be willing to do that is to try to keep one foot in the world and hold on to your reputation, you know, and get one foot over in revival and access the power of God. And that never works well. It's like the people that come to me and say, "I watch you on TV and I love your teaching." I say, "Well, why don't you come and visit the church?" "Well, I'm really happy where I'm at." In other words, they want revival, the revival manifestation, but they won't shift out of the limiting system they're in. And why would they not shift? Fear. Fear. What if I get over here and I don't, it doesn't work for me, and all my family now, you know, thinks I'm crazy. I'm telling you, Patty and I got saved. We got saved radically. At least I did. She came along later. We got saved the same night, but the radical level was a little different. But I'm on fire, and I'm leading the family into fire. And both of our families thought we were absolutely crazy. Her family thought I'd led her into lunacy, and my family thought she led me into lunacy, and they were both mad at each of us. Or, you know, concerned. And we tell them what we were believing for and what we were doing. And would have to stand for some time until God would show up. But you know what? They don't question it anymore. They've seen too much. They watched our lives for 31 years manifest what we said. They've seen miracles take place in our life. You've got to be willing to lay everything on the line to move into the supernatural. Because God, He says, you try to combine polluted water with clean, it's not going to work. You got to determine, I'm going all the way in, I'm diving in. Man, I've always loved to swim. And the thing I'm thinking about right now is we used to live right near this rock quarry. We called it the Rock Crusher. When they built the interstate system, they built all these rock quarries along the interstate to get the stone out. And they built one near where I lived. It filled up with water, full of huge, huge fish, crystal clear water. And we used to swim in it all the time. And I'd swim in as soon as the water, as soon as the ice had thawed sufficiently, I'm ready to swim. And I can remember trying to ease in. A little time, you get about knee high and it's okay. You get a little deeper and things start to get serious. And sometimes you go so far and you'd back out, no, I can't do this. And we just found out if you just jump in, it's over in a second anyway. You're prolonging the torture for 10 minutes trying to work your way in. But if you just jump in, catch your breath, start swimming, you'll be okay. And that's what you got to do in faith. Too many people are trying to just ease into faith. And there comes a time, I'm just jumping. The Word says it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to give it my all and go forth and watch God move. Amen. And He will move. But you got to go beyond the fear barrier. And you got to be willing to identify fear in your life. You guys following this tonight? You got to be able to look at your situation. Here's where I'm at. What's keeping me from doing what the Word says? What's keeping me from accessing the divine healing of God? And you got to examine what's going on in your thoughts and say, oh, I'm fearing this. This is why I'm not moving forward. You can even identify what kind of fear you're experiencing. Then you choose to go through the fear. Amen. So we talked about fear of failure. What if it doesn't work? Fear of ridicule. What do you suppose the next area of fear we're going to talk about is? That's right. I didn't hear everybody say it, but that's right. Fear of pain. Fear of pain actually often hinders more people than pain itself. Well, thank you for your hearty agreement on that. How many times have you gone to something where you thought it was going to be painful, and when they did it, it was nothing? To go to Ghana, you've got to have, you're required to get a visa to have a yellow fever shot. And everybody looks forward to shots, right? And so I'm going to get my yellow fever shot. And it's no hindrance at all. I think, well, I got to have a needle stuck in my arm. And they wouldn't, and so I'm casting down fear of it. And not that it's going to hinder me, but you know, still trying, oh, get ready for the pain. So I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to block out this pain. Here comes the needle. And they brought out a needle that was so small. It looked like a human hair. I mean, it was tiny, little short thing. And they go, and I couldn't even feel it. I mean, it was so small, it was like less than a pinprick. And I'm going, I had to deal with casting down fear for that. It's kind of like they say when we get to heaven, we're going to say, look at the devil and say, and that's the one that caused the nations to tremble? Him? This is it? We've been walking in fear of this guy for, you know, 6,000 years, and this is the one? But fear keeps people from advancing in the things of the Word. And fear of pain keeps people from advancing against symptoms. And I believe often the fear of pain is more limiting, restrictive than the pain itself. Now, I mentioned the dental stuff I've had in the past. I've had a lot of dental work. Fortunately, I still have my teeth, most of them, but they've had sufficient work on them. And I tell you, shots have changed. Shots have changed since I was a kid, and they are now. Now they take a little thing and put it in your mouth and kind of pre-numbs, and they put the shot in. You can't hardly feel the shots most of the time. When I was a kid, they pulled out needles that took both hands to hold them. There was no prenum. I believe they made it painful on purpose to try to get you to take better care of your teeth. I kind of remember getting a running start with that needle and poof! And they would shove it right at the top of your gums in the front of your mouth. And I swear the needle went through my nostril and into my eye and out the back of my head. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? If you're not at least 50 years old, you have no idea what I'm talking about. They improved it. I remember when I get in shots later on in my 20s, I was going, that wasn't so bad. Well, they had learned to prenum and smaller needles, everything else. Then they were using, you know, I think they use the same needles to give you to give you numbing injections, Novocaine injections that they gave to tranquilize the cows. I think it's the same ones we use on the farm with a needle about that long and look like a pencil lid. Oh, that hurt so bad. And I can remember dreading going to the dentist. And then they changed the drills too. When they got those diamond bits and they go, zzzz! Now they use the ones that, does anybody recognize zzzz, that sound? Yeah. It didn't used to sound like that. When I was young, it sounded like, these belt-driven things and such, and they would go slow, and it's like... Oh, it was horrendous. I mean, I would wait. I remember before I let them go work on my teeth, they would hurt so bad because I didn't want to go deal with that shot. Amen. They'd be ground, and they say, let us know if it hurts. I'm going, are you kidding? And have you stick that big needle up in my face again? And so the fear of the pain kept you from advancing to the place of getting healing. And so how many times have you had it where you were afraid of something was going to hurt, and when it happened, it didn't hurt? And you thought, I entertained all that fear for nothing. Just for nothing, and it was really nothing there. Well, if you're going to go into divine health, you'll have to confront fear of pain. Because God may have you in faith do things that will require you to blast through that fear. Remember me speaking this morning about jumping up in the air with the back blown? See, I had to go through fear of pain. I had to decide the power of God was greater than anything pain could produce. And by doing that, I stepped into it. I remember we were first saved. In fact, I don't know if I knew Pastor Philip yet or not. He told the story. But he hadn't been saved very long. This would have been in the late 80s. And he's working on a construction job. And he stepped off a ladder or stepped in a ditch or something, and he broke his ankle. He said he felt it break. And he's sitting there in extreme agony. And God spoke to him. He's on the ground. God spoke to him. He says, get up and run. He's going, get up and run. My ankle's broke. God says, if you want to get healed right now, get up and run. So he had to confront pain. So he gets up, his ankle's just dangling. He's standing there, and God said, now run. And so he takes off, and he would do the demonstration. You've heard this before, Betty, I'm sure. And he'd do like this. God said, that's not running, run. And he had to be determined to throw that foot down on the ground with a broken ankle and run it. So he starts, and Jesus, running. And he didn't get more than a few steps, and God totally healed his ankle. Pastor Ron Harmon, he's gone on to be with Jesus now. He was a pastor of our church in Carrollton, Kentucky, for a season. And when he met us, he had a construction accident and broke his leg. Broke his lower leg, and he knew it was broken. And they were taking him to the doctor, and he says, I remember there's a visiting pastor here in the next town over, Pastor Derber from Frankfurt, this advertising miracle manifestation. He said, take me there instead. And this guy was a charismatic pastor, but never operated in healing power. And he said, take me there instead. And so he's sitting there with a broken leg, sitting in the service. They're praising God. And toward the end of praise, God told him, stand up. So he stood up on the broken leg. And God said, now jump. He's going, God, I got a broken ankle. God says, jump. So he jumped, and when he came down, leg totally healed. I said, ankle, leg totally healed. Had to go through the pain, or the fear of the pain. Because when he hit it, didn't hurt. Didn't hurt me when I hit flat-footed on my back. That one didn't hurt. All the stomping around times up to it hurt. Time slapping my head on the dash. The last time didn't hurt, but the ones up to it did. But I had to decide I wanted healing more than I wanted to be afraid of pain. Pastor Sherry Gaines, you heard her here a couple weeks ago. Pastor Sherry was in a car accident. Oh, I'm going to say, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. She was in a car accident. Her foot was crushed. They took her, I think by ambulance, to the hospital. And I may mess up the story somewhat, but I'm going to get the gist of it right. They took her to the hospital, And her foot's busted up. I don't know if they took the x-rays or not. They may have taken them already, but they knew her foot was broken in more than one place. And she got in the hospital and said, wait a minute. The Bible says not a bone will be broken. I'm healed. She walked out of the hospital on the foot. Yet it wasn't healed yet. Foot swelled up, turned totally black. Screaming pain. And she refused. She refused to give it place. For a while, she would even take crutches with her, just so she could walk, because she was doing what she could do, but she was putting everything she could on that foot. And God healed the foot. I don't remember how long it took her, whether it was a week or two or whatever, but God totally healed that foot. Without a cast, without any other assistance, but she had to go through the pain. Once again, I know pain hurts. You guys think pain hurts? Pain hurts, doesn't it? Pain hurts. I don't like pain. But if we boil it down, pain is nothing more than an electrical signal from one part of your body to your brain saying it hurts. The truth is, pain really doesn't hurt anything. Let me say it again. Pain really doesn't hurt anything. It just tells you something is out of order. And when you can get beyond the fear of pain and say, it's just an electrical signal, it's not going to hurt forever, I can endure it for a little bit, and you go beyond it, you can take steps to take you into divine healing. But as long as we're afraid of pain, listen, this is not to condemn anybody. Are you following me? Please don't get upset at me. But what fear of pain does is it pushes you to the medicine cabinet way ahead of the pain being overwhelming or being that major, out of fear that it's going to be. Or the fear is going to last a lot longer than it's really going to last. I remember as a kid, we had one pain reliever, aspirin. And did you want Bayer or Bufferin or whatever form of aspirin there was? It was aspirin. And then came along Tylenol. Which they didn't tell us how it destroyed people's livers. So we had people who were ODing on Tylenol, destroying their liver, thinking they were, you know, taking pain reliever. Never take but a little bit of Tylenol. Poisons to your system. And then we ended up with all these others. Motrin, and Advil, and Aleve, and I don't even know all of them. All these pain relievers, and you go to people's houses, they have a whole cabinet full of these things, of each one of each type. Not to mention codeine and everything else lined up, you know, they might get a hold of. Maybe. And we run to that out of fear of pain versus run to God. Because one of the number one things that drives people to the medicine cabinet versus run to God is fear of pain. It's not that they don't believe that God heals. It's not that they don't believe that God can heal or wants to heal. I'm talking about in some situations. It's that they don't want to confront the fear of pain to press through to the healing. We'd rather have a microwave solution versus take confrontive, aggressive, confrontive steps against the assault of the enemy against your physical body. Amen. And I'm determined to confront pain in my life. That's why, other than when I've had a tooth extracted, I've had one or two teeth extracted. Well, I think one I didn't do any pain medications on. And usually, if I've had a tooth, I've had, I don't know, four or five teeth taken out in the past. I may do pain medications to get me through the night, and then I stop. And usually without pain after that. But it's funny, they'll give you pain medication for about 5 days. Some people just do it all the way out, 5 days of pain medication, doped up for 5 days, and the pain really quit 6 hours after the surgery, or after, you know, the extraction. But people are so afraid of pain, they depend upon those meds. And so I'm pretty sure that last night was the first, now it was a tooth that hurt as much as an extraction, if not more. I think that's the first pain pill I've taken for something other than a tooth extraction, probably since I've been saved. And I probably average taking, I don't take any Tylenol. In fact, in our house, we have, I don't know what it's called, low-dose aspirin. Looks like a little bitty pill. I take those. And I probably take an average of 2 of them a year. When I had a really bad headache, I'll take a low-dose aspirin or something where I've got to go do something, can't address at the time. And that's all I take. Why? Because I don't want pain to drive me to anything of the world's solutions. Not to mention the word pharmakia, where we get pharmaceuticals, is the Hebrew word for witchcraft. Hebrew or Greek? Greek word. Greek word for witchcraft. I don't want that in my body. And there are several of you here that can attest. It's not to condemn anybody, but there are several of you in here that can attest that sometimes what you thought is an easy solution with a pharmaceutical, an easy escape, turned out to be much more binding than you thought it would be. But God's got a situation where it's not addictive. There's no after effects. Amen. And it works. But to go to God's system, you've got to be willing to confront pain. You got to be willing to say, hey, I know it hurts, but I'm going to go through it for just a minute, for a little bit of time, to access God's system of healing versus be afraid of the pain because somehow we can't hurt a little bit. Through the past few days, when I was really embracing that word, I mean, I kept bringing to mind Smith Wigglesworth preaching with kidney stones. I believe the number is 110 kidney stones he had in a 6-year period. I think he needed to change his water supply. 110 kidney stones, and never went to the doctor a single time or took one bit of pain medication. And they say a kidney stone is the equivalent, the close thing equivalent to having a baby. Ladies, what would you think of having 110 babies in 6 years? I mean, it'll spike things that go through your kidneys that shred as they go through. Never had one, not going to have one. Some of you may have had kidney stones. Anybody had kidney stone before? Did they hurt? It was a full agreement. He had 110 and never sought pain medications at times, holding on to the pulpit for the pain. They got to raise 23 people from the dead. Not that you have to have pain to raise people from the dead, but you got to be willing not to be afraid of the things of the curse and press through it. Then I started thinking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. 5 times beaten with rods, stoned and probably killed, left for dead. In prisons. He talks about the things he went through. He says, a fool, he said, I didn't have to do it. He said, I didn't know, right? But he went through some stuff to get where he got to. And I can't deal with a tooth and a little bitty part of my body that's screaming, and I'd stand longer. What I'm trying to get across is, There comes a time to advance far into divine health. You're going to confront this pain issue. Because not that you can't take aspirin or pain medications and access healing. Apparently you can, because I did last night. I took the pain pill. Got to sleep about 2 o'clock, and by 7 in the morning, I was totally healed. As far as the mouth pain, it was gone. And I believe God was proud of my stand for 2 weeks. I believe He's saying He's standing on my word. And I told God, I told Him I'm taking these pills. I'm still believing. But right now, I'm having trouble getting focused on what I got to do in the morning and fighting this pain. And by morning, overnight, I believe He sent an angel to heal me. Just my theory. Because by the morning, all the swelling was gone, all the pain. I mean, no pain left. Let me describe what the pain was like for just a minute. Did you ever think of anybody taking a drill, sticking it in the front of your face and turning it on grind? Up in your head? It hurt. But you got to be willing to go through it. And I personally believe when you're willing to stand against it, your anointing to release the power of God goes up as well. I've had it confessed how much power Elaine Homer spoke over me. I would carry the power of God that Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and Lester Sherman, others had carried. I'm going, praise God. But don't think it's not going to be opposed. And you got to be unwilling to bow down. Because if you run to what everybody else runs to, you just, are going to experience the same results you're experiencing. Which temporal relief. And what happened is you bounced off the fear of pain circle. What happens is you're trying to access divine healing. And maybe you made it where you're not looking at the circumstance anymore, but you hit that fear of pain and you bounce right back off. Oh, I can't take pain. I didn't know it was going to hurt. It's amazing when I pray for people and I say, your shoulder's hurting. I'll pray for them. I say, now, put your arm in there. Raise your arm. And it's like, pain's gone. It's gone. Well, I had to confront that fear of pain. I prayed for a guy here earlier this year, back in June. And he came first time in his church. But I've known him for years. He came in and he said, I've had pain in his shoulder. The doctors have told me that it's going to take 6 weeks of treatment or something to get healed of. Something's disconnected. I said, well, you want to see a miracle? He says, yeah. I laid my hands on him. I said, in Jesus' name, you're healed. I said, now lift your arm. He shot it up. Didn't even think about pain. He just shot it up. And he goes, it's gone. Totally healed. But he'd be willing to go through that fear of pain. There was never any pain to be afraid of, but he had to go through the fear of it. Amen. And you got to be willing to so believe the Word of God that you're not going to let anything the devil does hold you from what God's got for you. Now, sometimes God will have you step out in faith against symptoms. Maybe necessary that you'll step out in faith against the symptoms. That means you're going to step into pain. And that becomes a lot of places where people won't move beyond. But the other times you're in pain anyway. And you got to be willing to stay in that pain versus run to the emergency relief medicine cabinet. Why you confess the word for the deliverance. Did you follow me on that? So the third circle is actually pain. Is actual pain itself. Fear of pain will try to hold you back before you ever felt the pain. Oh, it's going to hurt. If I have to believe God, that means I'm going to carry this pain, or it's going to hurt to trust God, or to, you know, step out in faith, and it's going to hurt. And a lot of people carry such fear of pain, they can never get beyond that point. And I might throw in, pain can be both physical and emotional. We could do a whole teaching on fear of rejection on this, and you won't go beyond that to go into healing of your relationships. There was a whole message right there, wasn't there? But fear of pain is that you won't step out even before anything's happened. But then when pain really hits, as I said, it could be the cattle prod to direct you in what it wants you to do, and you've got to be willing to stand against the tasers of the enemy. Again, it's not a sin to take pain relief. I believe last night, I tell you, about 1:30 in the morning when the thing hit, I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Well, I could still feel the pressure, but the intense pain wasn't there. I'm going, Father, I thank you that you gave us pain relievers. I thank you for it. Amen. But I was letting him know it wasn't the first thing I run to. And not going to. But when pain hits itself, sometimes you've got to be willing to stand with pain for a while to get a hold of the divine healing. And personally, I mentioned in a prayer line, I'll pray for people and I'll say, where's the pain? And God will heal the pain. But the problem may still be there. But the pain's gone. What's happening? God's getting rid of one of those shells of opposition to keep us from going in. See, last night, I don't have full manifestation of all the healing I want. For one thing, I don't have brand new teeth in my mouth yet. Color-coded, matched, and everything. Of course, really, they're brand new teeth. I don't care what color they are. But, well, it'd be nice to be some shade close, I guess. We don't want orange ones or green. I gave you brand new teeth. They're all green. See, I'm trying to get from right here where I need healing to right here where I've got it. But I've got to break through all these shells of resistance. And last night, God took this shell out of the way. He took that shell out of the way. So now I can keep going. Because under the continued assault of pain, you eventually will have to give in to whatever solution you can come up with. Do you follow me? You'll eventually, I mean, I'm telling you what, last night, I'm telling God right now, if this tooth fell out, I wouldn't complain. But I believe I've received healing. I mean, I'm talking to God with it. And I'm thinking, should I go to the dentist to get this thing pulled out or not? Had the pain not been alleviated, I'm certain I would have. Whether it would have been right away or not, I don't know. But that level of pain, you can only carry so long. You've got to do something. And so God, knowing I'm wanting to stand, and it's a process of faith manifesting, took the major obstacle out of the way that would permit me to keep on standing. Are you seeing this? Now again, I don't know what the future holds. Amen. Right now I'm determined to keep this thing, keep speaking. And I believe God's enabled me to do that. The point being is, pain is a form of defense the enemy uses against you to access divine health. And you got to be willing to confront that pain to some level to move into divine healing. And I believe, see, had I taken the pain medication 2 weeks ago when it first started, I believe the symptoms would still be there that were causing the pain. You follow me? In other words, I had infection up in there. My nose hurt to touch it. Things were turning colors. I'm having to cast down blood poisoning and everything else. I mean, it was serious symptoms. Had I done the pain medication 2 weeks ago, I believe I'd have woke up the next day after the medication woke off and had to do some more medication. But now that I did it by faith, as far as I went, God said, hey, you fought the good fight. Now let me pick it up from here. Is this okay with you guys? Let me pick it up from here, and boom, I'm taking that pain out of the way. Now you keep speaking the word. I believe that's what's happened. Because what's happening in my face in the last 24 hours, really in a 4-hour, 5-hour period last night, was one of the greatest miracles I've ever known in my personal body. It was that significant. No more drill bit in my face. So the enemy's going to use pain against us. Oh, glory to God. I forgot I had other scriptures. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 15. And I'm staying on this healing topic unless God intervenes as I preach this right now. Because I'm hearing about many of you that have been under attack physically. We're going to stay on this healing topic for a little while to just really drive faith home in this area of our lives. Maybe this is a pivotal year where this church, everybody in it, never knows sickness again. Wouldn't that be nice? Praise you, Jesus. Jeremiah 15, verse 18 says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as a water and as waters that fail? Now this is an accusation against God. Say, why am I in perpetual pain? Why is my wound incurable? Why am I not getting healed? He says, are you as waters that fail? In other words, you don't come through. Are you a liar, God? In other words, you promised in our covenant, even in the Abrahamic covenant, we're promised healing. The Mosaic covenant, we're promised healing, I mean. We're promised healing. He's going, why am I not healed? In other words, we have a right to be healed. And your pain will not be perpetual. Because here's what the enemy always does. Whatever attack you're under, whether it's oppression, some type of psychological attack, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I might as well go eat worms. Whether it's physical symptoms, the enemy always says this, you're probably going to die and the pain will last forever. He always says, it's forever. I've been doing this for a long time in man's years. Short time with God, long time in man's years. And I've discovered the devil can never maintain an attack that you don't get in agreement with. If you get in agreement with it, the attack will stay. In other words, you start saying nobody likes me in the church, you'll eventually leave and keep confessing for life they didn't like me in that church. When in fact, everybody loves you. Kathy said yesterday, she said, this is such a loving church. Isn't that what you said? She said, I just feel the love of God here. That's why, because it's here. We really love each other. But the devil will come along and tell everybody here at one time or another, they don't like you. They don't want you there. They don't think you're spiritual enough. They're just trying to use you. Pastor's making up his testimonies. He's probably on drugs all the time. I mean, the devil will attack you. And then he'll bring this oppression with it and tell you it's going to last forever. You'll never be free of this pain or this pressure, this emotional onslaught. It's forever. What was that off of? What was that kids movie? Remember that kids movie? forever. I forget which movie that's off of. The Sandlot. Yes. Yes, The Sandlot. I like that movie. That's how I grew up, in The Sandlot baseball like that. And I identify with that movie at a very high level. The devil says it will last forever. But the truth is, if you will just stand in faith, resist the devil, it says he'll flee. He can't maintain it. He virtually cannot maintain it. And again, yesterday I was hearing the decay in your bone. It's going to go all the way up, and it's going to take all of your teeth, and it's going to take your nose, and your eyes are going to fall. I mean, it's going to consume your skull, and you name it. Poison's going to your brain right now. It's going to last forever. You got to be determined. No, my hope is in God alone. In Him will I trust. And the attacks always cease. I have a question. How many in here, just raise your hand, how many here have ever had the devil attack you and tell you that people in the church don't like you? Anybody? Here's my question. Lift your hand now if the attack left, if it ended. See that? It was temporal. He can't keep it up. He doesn't have enough forces to keep an attack on your head and attack all the other Christians too. So he's got to strike for a period of time, and then he's got to go. Unless you turn the attack into a familiar spirit by saying, oh, I agree with that. And you carry it. In the same way, he can't keep up a pain attack. He can't keep up the attack of pain if you'll stand on the Word. It's got to break. Amen. Well, the injury is there, yes, but you can have the injury but not have pain. Oh, I'm telling you right now, you can have the injury but have no pain. Because pain was taken for us at the cross. We have a right to live pain-free. So you got to be willing to confront that. Glory to God. I know I'm out of time. We'll have to pick it up on Thursday. Amen. Let me write the fourth one up here so you have your chart complete that you've been making notes on. And there's many more, but we're sticking with four right now. The fourth one is feeling worthy of being healed. The other shell the enemy uses. After you've battled through looking at the circumstances, after you've battled through fear of pain and through pain itself, now the devil says, but who are you to think that God's going to heal you? What makes you think that you're deserving of God healing? And he'll start reminding you of everything you've done wrong for all of your life and where you've, you know, missteps you've made. And as we battle through all four of those shells, the end result is we step into divine health. Did you get anything out of this? I want to give you one last statement that I tell people all the time. To be victorious in this, you've got to learn to laugh at pain. When a pain hits you, ha ha ha, you stupid devil, you can't hurt me. I have a redeemed body. And press through to victory. Father, we thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts and our minds, our understanding. I thank you, Lord. I stand for you right now, pain free. I thank you for this gift. We believe every person in this body is healed supernaturally, everything all the time. We walk in the fullness of health. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be honored to.